So much of our lives are marked with fear, anxiety, and death. We just came through Holy Week. We heard the biblical story that is marked with crowds shouting for violence and leaders who use violence to keep the peace. After the work of Maundy Thursday and Good Friday and Holy Saturday, by the time Easter morning arrives, we, like the women and the disciples who followed Jesus, are weighed down and weary from the ashiness of death. But the truth is, our weariness isn't just from the heaviness of the story of passion and the journey that led Jesus to the cross. I have to think that our weariness is also ripped right out of the pages and stories of the newspaper. People calling for violence against Muslim neighbors. People calling for violence against protesters around the world. People calling for violence, an attempt to keep the peace in the midst of a troubling world. We really still live in a dangerous world. And too often we live our lives in response to fear. We pour our energy and our resources in trying to defend ourselves as we try to keep the wolves at bay. And the truth is, Tuesday morning as I was driving to work, the enormity of Holy Week and all that was going on hit me. I listened that morning as I was driving into work to NPR and was listening to the coverage of all that was happening in Brussels. And I kept thinking as I drove to work, why in the midst of Easter week does this have to happen? Why in the midst of Holy Week, when I have to come and preach on Sunday morning and give a sermon about he has risen indeed, and now I have to address this? Why? How? What is the message of Easter resurrection in a world that still seems to be stuck in Good Friday? So I arrived to the church. I sat right outside this window in my car, and tears fell down my face. And a song came on the radio, and it's called Ain't No Reason by Brett Drennan. And the verses struck me. It reads in the verses, people walk on a tightrope on razor's edge, carrying their hurt and hatred and weapons. It could be a bomb or a bullet or a pen or a thought or a word or a sentence. There ain't no reason that things are this way. It's how they always been and they intend to stay. Prison walls standing tall. Some things never change at all. Gonna keep on building prisons, gonna fill them all. Keep on building bombs, gonna drop them all. As I listen to those words, I can't help but think and ask, is this really the world that we live in? Is this how it intends to stay? Is this really what God intended for us? Where is the Easter story buried in the midst of all of this? And then the song continued, and Easter hope began to rise as he sung, chaos and commotion everywhere I go, love I will try to follow, because love, it will set me free. I do believe, I know it will, love, yes, it will set me free. Right there in the lyrics was hidden the word of Easter. Chaos and commotion surround us. But that does not mean that they have power over our lives. Chaos and commotion and the death-dealing ways of this world do not have power over us. We have a choice, you see. We have a choice. We can choose to follow love, or we can choose to follow chaos and the death-dealing ways of this world. But the reality is life isn't marked only by fear, anxiety, and death. Life is more resilient than that. Love is more alive, and together they are more disruptive than death. One person once said that power consists in what you decide in which story you will tell. This morning, as you come into this sanctuary, what's the story you're telling? Are you telling a story of death and chaos, or are you telling a story of life and love? Where do you choose to put the power? This morning, getting ready for church, we know the rest of the story, but it's hope that we come with a sense of awe and wonder as we come in, having left Maundy Thursday with the sanctuary draped in black. We come in expecting to find Jesus lying in a tube. Tomb, not tube. We come expecting to face death. But we're met with a different story. A story of life, a story of hope, a story of love overcoming death. And once again, we are reminded that there is great power in telling the story of resurrection, because that story tells us of who God is and who we are as an Easter people. Jesus has risen. He has risen indeed. Just like we opened worship this morning with those words, churches around the world are telling that story. They are claiming the mystery of resurrection as they begin their worship with this simple but mysterious proclamation. People get up for some reason on this morning. They dress in their finest. They flock to churches and pack the pews in order to proclaim the story that they are following, the mystery of a risen Christ. They are saying the death-dealing ways of the world is not the story that we choose, because Christ has risen. With Holy Week and the ups and the downs, its joys and its sorrow, we've come into this space to lift our voices and sing a new song, a song of hope, a song of promise, a song of mystery, as we proclaim the continuing story of a God who turns our expectations and the world upside down with the story of an empty tomb, a story of a resurrected Christ, a story of life. And today we sing that song together of a God who is in the business of doing new things. With our Easter proclamation of a risen Christ, we give power to a story that to this day continues to subvert the norms of a death-dealing world. This Easter morning when we gather, I can't help but to continue to think of the words from the prophet Isaiah. They come over and over to me. The words urge us to pay close attention, because God is on the move. God is creating a new heavens and a new earth. A God who says all of the earlier troubles, the chaos and pain, all of those things of the past must be forgotten. Look ahead with joy, God calls us to do. Anticipate what God is creating. A God who is ushering in Jerusalem as sheer joy and creating this people as a pure delight. A God who takes joy in his Jerusalem. A God who says no more will there be sounds of weeping in the city or cries of anguish. By the time the women arrived at the tomb on Easter morning, that God was already in the work of moving to life, of wiping away tears, of doing something new. They were met that morning when they arrived at the tomb with an empty tomb. Of God who said, no, not the ways of the world. And they were invited in that moment to let go of their pain and their sorrow as they looked ahead with hope to what God was doing and creating in the world. N.T. Wright writes in the book, The Meaning of Jesus' Two Visions with Marcus Borg, that Easter Sunday began with a new creation and was grounded in hope. He says, it's not only about my personal life after I die, but it's about God whose whole new creation, God's new story, a way of being continually, that continually calls us into the table, to resurrection, to reconciliation and healing and compassion and justice. It's about a God who calls us to participation in the wonders of God's new creation. He says there's a commissioning in this story for each one of us and for our communities of faith to join in what God is doing. The other thing that I think is fascinating in this Easter story is what happens when the women meet those men in dazzling white. The men look at the women and they say, "Why are you looking for the living one among the cemetery? He's not here, but he's been raised up. Remember how he told you when you were still back in Galilee that he had to be handed over and killed on a cross and in 3 days rose up." It's that simple word, remember. Remember Jesus' words. Nancy Pittman from Phillips Theological Seminary reminds us that there is an important lesson to be found in the mouth of those two angels. Remember how he told you. And remembering what Jesus said would happen to him, the memory connected them to the empty tomb with the very human Jesus who ate, talked, suffered, and died. Those who followed Jesus had a whole host of memories with them. The women, the men, they would remember all of those images coming flooding back to them, not just the death on the cross. As I think about this, I'm reminded of when I sit with a family who has lost a loved one. All it takes is for me to look at them and say, "Remember. Remember a meal? Tell me about it. Remember a vacation?" Saying that one line, the host of images of memory come flooding back, and I don't have to say anything else. I sit back with a pen as they share the life, the love, the story, the power of those loved ones. Angels invite the women to do the same. Remember, with that word, they remember the table. When they broke bread together, they remember walking down the road and sharing laughter and stories together. They remember the healing. They remember Lazarus. They remember the blind man. They remember everything that Jesus said and taught. They remembered. Nancy Pittman goes on to say, "This call to remember gives the grounds of the mystery of resurrection in the everyday world of human living as well as in the demanding communal ethics that Jesus taught." As I think of those families, I remember the lessons that the loved ones taught. Remember. Remember how they taught you to live in the world, how they called you to be the person that you are today. Remember. Nancy goes on to say, "This means that the boundless gift of the empty tomb cannot be separated from the words and the actions of Jesus. Resurrection, after all, is not some buoyant ideal unconnected in the real world. Today, as we proclaim Christ is risen, he is risen indeed, we are invited not to just remember that Christ died on a cross and rose, but we are called to remember a very real and human Jesus. Jesus incarnate, Jesus flesh and blood, Jesus who modeled a different way of living. Our memory is jogged so that we are invited to love one another, to share the good news, and to share the story of a God who is doing a new thing. Our response to the empty tomb and the risen Christ is really simple when we stop and think about it. Our response is a testimony. Our response is the testimony of our lives. We respond with our love. We respond with our hope. We respond to God's story. We respond to a God who is doing a new thing in Christ, a new thing in each of us, a new thing in our incarnate one, who we are called to model in the world. We respond to God's yes when the world says no to reconciliation, peace, healing, and compassion and mercy. We respond by telling a story of life in the face of a death-dealing world. We give power to the story with our response. We respond by living the way that Jesus taught and lived. We respond with our lives and with our love. That is the resurrection hope. Amen.